Hello, welcome to Issues of the Heart. We are on anchor number 17, which is episode number 18. We're going through anchors in stormy relationships. And I appreciate it. We've gotten a lot of response. People want to know how these apply in their particular situation. All I ask is that you remember that every marriage, no matter how long you've been married or how recently you've gotten married, every marriage will go through some stormy activity. And what we want you to do is to understand that when those storms come, they can actually be an opportunity to grow in your marriage. They don't have to be devastating. And so the best thing to do is when those stormy waters begin to churn and the waves begin to get rough, the best thing to do is throw out some anchors and just be still. Don't make decisions in the heat of the battle. Don't make major life-changing decisions while the storm tempest is raging. Just throw out an anchor. Just be still. Don't go forward, backwards, side to side. Just be still until you learn what the problem is, how to deal with it. We've learned over the years that there's a whole lot of things that couples go through. And years down the road, when they're reviewing their marriage together and their life together, some of those things they don't even remember. They weren't major issues, but if you're not careful, those minor issues become major issues. Remember when we were talking about the church in Acts, when Paul was on the ship, and we talked about when they began to sail, there was a soft wind. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the south wind blew softly. Almost every marital problem I know of always started with a soft wind before it became catastrophic. And so what we're trying to say with these anchors, what we're trying to tell you with these anchors is when the wind begins to blow softly, throw out an anchor, stop, just be still, because it may be that it's not as big an issue as you think it is. And it might be that that particular problem becomes a catalyst for things you're going to learn in your marriage that's going to give you a strong, healthy marriage. So remember that. We've gone through at least 16 anchors so far. Tonight we're going to go through the seventh anchor, which is the anchor of acceptance. The anchor of acceptance. Acceptance lays the groundwork for long-term relationships. Now, I want to tell you this. This applies to the job. This applies to friendships. This applies to relationship. It applies to marriages. It applies to church involvement. But a major, major catalyst for destruction in relationship is often a lack of acceptance. Or at least people feel they're not being accepted. It could be something in their past that led them to believe that they're not acceptable. Maybe as a child, I had a real hard time. I was talking to someone years and years and years ago who's told me that one of the most difficult things they had to battle in their life was as a child, they were adopted, and into this family, although the parents of this adopted person loved them to death and treated them as their own child, loved them as much as they loved their own biological children, and yet the family of these parents didn't look at it that way. And cousins through adoption would make fun of them and call them terms like adopto and half and all those kind of things they would say. Well, that person then, as the years went on, they developed that expectation that everyone else would feel the way those people felt. And they were always getting in trouble because they were trying to live up to those expectations, even if it meant lying to try to become something they were not, or doing the wrong thing to prove that they were something they were not. And they found out that later on, even in their marriage, those same things translated into that relationship, and they caught themselves trying to earn the acceptance of their mate on a daily basis. And sometimes their mate accepted them, but they just felt like they had to earn it. Huge problem. And as a matter of fact, you'd be surprised how many people who are listening to my voice right now who are enjoying this meeting with us, you'd be surprised how many are battling today because of acceptance. So, let me say this. Acceptance lays the groundwork for long-term relationships. If the relationship's going to be long-term, it's going to be because of acceptance. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, charity, that's love, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I'll paraphrase that whole verse by saying, charity is acceptance. When you love, you accept. When you love, you accept the characteristics of your mate, of your loved one, of your family, of your friends, of your workmates. Now watch, acceptance never ever compares. Acceptance never compares. I wonder how many people are listening right now. And while I'm talking right now, you're thinking about how you compare to someone else you know. Are you the kind of husband somebody else has? Are you the kind of wife some other husband brags about? How do you compare? How do you measure up? But see, acceptance never compares. Listen to me. No one can compare to someone who's already passed away. Boy, we see this. Somebody lost a loved one. Somebody lost a husband, or they lost a wife. And then over the period of time, they remarry. And I'm telling you, we've had many people come to us who are involved in a marriage like that, and they tell us, Jay, Stephanie, my wife or my husband continually compares me to their husband or wife that's passed away. But I'm going to tell you today, no one can compare to someone who has already passed away. Nobody can compare. First of all, there are probably some negative things about the person you're not telling. There are probably some deficiencies you're not sharing. And so when you're not accepting your mate, they spend a lifetime trying to measure up and compare to somebody they don't even know. And no one can compare to that. Please don't ever be guilty of saying, well, my husband used to do it this way, or my wife did it this way, or this is what my wife wore, this is what my husband did, this is how he acted, or he was funny, or he laughed all the time, he was quiet, or he was vocal, whatever. Don't compare with someone who's already passed away, because nobody can measure up to that. No one can. Maybe your husband or your wife, maybe they were tremendous people. Maybe they weren't. Your mate now can't compare. No one can compare to a fictional character. So you're watching a movie, and you saw this couple on this movie, and boy, that husband, he was just dynamite. Everything the wife would have expected, he was. I mean, she was like a Cinderella to him. Your husband can't compare to that, because that's a fictional character. Your husband is the real deal. Your wife can't compare to that. You say, well, she's no Cinderella. Well, I got news for you. Behind the screen, that Cinderella didn't look like a Cinderella when they weren't being videoed. You can't compare to fictional characters. As a matter of fact, one of the big problems with pornography, people will get addicted to pornography, and they'll watch that garbage, and while they're watching it, they will begin to build expectations that their mate will have the ability to satisfy the way this fictional character does. The real life person cannot compare to fictional character. You're living in a dream world. You're living in an artificial world. If you expect your mate to compare to a fictional character, they can't do it. It's impossible. So acceptance never compares. Acceptance never emphasizes physical changes. Boy, you better listen to this one. This one gets people in trouble all the time. I promise you, it has probably at some point gotten you in some trouble. Acceptance never compares physical changes. Now look, I'm getting older. I'm not a young person anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm the old man on my job. I'm one of the old men in a lot of places. I'm not getting younger, I'm getting older. And as I get older, things change about me. I get a little heavier than I was. I get a double chin that I used to have. The eyes get a little heavy. There are physical changes. You say, well, she's added a few pounds. Well, have you looked in a mirror? Well, he's turning gray. Well, ma'am, have you looked in a mirror recently? I don't care. I don't care if he is, even if he's so skinny that if he turned sideways, stuck out his tongue, he'd look like a zipper. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you'd have to run around in the shower to get wet. Physical changes shouldn't be a form of acceptance. Well, you know, she's not as pretty as she used to be. Well, if you married her just because she's pretty, then there's a problem you probably should have dealt with a long time ago. Acceptance never emphasizes physical change. Never. Acceptance doesn't recreate values for somebody else. This is going to be a shocker to you. Stephanie and I, we don't see eye to eye on everything. I mean, there are a lot of things she sees one way and I see a different way. And guess what? Some of the time, I'm right. And some of the time, she's right. Some of the time, neither one of us is right. But if our relationship is based on whether we agree or not, we got a problem. I married my wife. She became my wife. It never became my job as her husband to recreate values for her. That's between her, and that's between God. Her values are dependent on her relationship with God, not her relationship with me. I hope that I would have a positive impact on her, and I hope that she has a positive, and she does have a positive impact on me. But neither one of us have the responsibility of recreating values for the other one. That's God's job. Acceptance doesn't recreate values for somebody else. You know, it'd be wonderful if we could learn to love and enjoy people regardless. Regardless of who they were, regardless of what they were. Just loving people. You know, demand for compliance never works, and it never works on the job. It doesn't work in a home. It doesn't work with your wife. It doesn't work with your husband. Demand for compliance never works. Let me share something with you. Somebody said to me, well, you know, one of the problems parents have with their kids is that when they have too many rules, they have too many restrictions. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what your rules and your restrictions might be. I really don't care. But what I do know is it's not the rules and restrictions that drive your kids away from you. It's the attitude and the demand for those restrictions that drive your kids away. I can give, or could when they were growing up, I could give my kids direction. And it maybe wasn't the direction they wanted to go. But that never drove a child away. What drives a child away, or a mate away, is the attitude in which we give the direction or the restriction. How I lay it out for my wife, how she lays it out for me, that's what has a negative effect on people. Demand for compliance never works in a relationship. It never works in a relationship. Husbands, listen to me. You go home and you demand a change from your wife, I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get proof from her that she's not going to meet your demand. Ladies, you want to have fun tonight? Go home and demand that your husband respond the way you want him to respond. I guarantee you what you're going to get. You're going to get a husband who's going to be totally defiant of your demand. Because demanding, recreating values, is not acceptance. Is not acceptance. Now, what I'm gonna tell you now, I want you to listen very carefully to. I had a friend who had a son. And this son got into some stuff that was pretty wrong, some stuff that he shouldn't have gotten involved in, some stuff that was hurting his relationship with the people he loved. And boy, I tell you what, everybody, churches all over the country started calling him out. Boy, I tell you what, that preacher must not be, he must not be that strong if his son did this, and if his son turned out this way, and if he made these mistakes. And I listened to people make these attacks continually. But the dad didn't respond. Then all of a sudden, there was an opportunity when this son was in a public forum for the dad to condemn him or for the dad to accept him. And this dad, who was a great preacher, who pastored a great church, stood up, affirmed and accepted his son, to the dismay of all of those other people who watched him and listened to him. And that acceptance made an unbelievable change in the life of his son. I'm asking you, what would happen had that preacher given in to all the criticism from his preacher friends and other Christians and other people around the community? What would happen if he had given in to that criticism? What would happen with his son? His son would have never come back. His son would have never made a life change. But the father practiced acceptance. I love the story of the prodigal son. We read in scripture where, you know, he got tired of following the rules of his dad, and he told his dad, you know, give me everything you owe me. Give me all my inheritance. He was going to do his own thing. And you know what the Bible says. He left, was doing his own thing, living his own life, and he lost everything. And he had gotten to the point where he was actually eating out of the pig trough with the hogs. And it dawned on him, you know what? The servants at my father's house have it better than I do. And the Bible says he got up, he left, went back to his father. When his father saw him at a distance, his father didn't say, well, I tell you what, let's see if he's changed or not. Oh, no. Here's what the father did. The father said, go kill the fattest calf we've got. Give me some valuable jewelry. And he ran down the road, threw his arms around the neck of his son, gave him those jewels, brought him home where they had a feast with the fatted calf, and treated him as if he had never left. That's acceptance. Years and years and years ago, I was preaching at a church in Canada. And we had a question and answer time. Steph and I, we had these Happily Ever After Sundays that we'd have. And we'd take 3 days and we'd deal with couples and we'd answer questions and had great conferences. And then we'd always end on Sunday with Happily Ever After Sunday. And we had a question and answer time. What we would do, we would give out cards on Sunday morning, let people write down questions, and then I would sit down with the pastor all afternoon, and we would go over every question that was asked so that he and I were on the same page. And then in the evening, we would answer those questions. We'd pull up, we'd put two chairs on the platform, we'd sit down, maybe we'd have a cup of coffee while we were on the platform, and we would answer those questions for the people. And I had somebody ask me a question. They said, let me ask you this. So I have a son that really got involved in some wicked activity. He wasn't what he needed to be. He sent us a note last week asking if it would bother us if he came home for Christmas. And we said, can you help us here? Or they said, can you help us? Because we don't know whether we should let him come home or not, because we feel like we need to make sure he has changed, so we're not putting a stamp of approval on his lifestyle. And they said, what do you think? And I stood up and couldn't hold it back. Boy, tears well up in my eyes. And I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go find the biggest calf I could find. The biggest steak I could find. I'd throw it on the grill. And then I'd get all the jewelry I could find. When my son came home, I would give him all the jewelry. I'd set him down beside the biggest steak I could find. And I'd love him like he never left. That's acceptance. That's acceptance. The Bible never gives you an excuse, ever, not to accept people, especially those that you love. Do you accept your wife? Do you accept your husband? That anchor of acceptance is life-changing. I mean, I'll be honest with you. They expect you not to accept them. Surprise them. Throw out that anchor of acceptance. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. What he's saying is it doesn't matter what the husband thinks. If the wife or if the husband has a conversation of acceptance, they'll be won by that conversation. The anchor of acceptance, no matter what. So when the storm comes, the water gets rough, ship begins to toss to and fro, grab that anchor of acceptance, throw the anchor out, and just be still. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. Remember, if you have any questions, any thoughts, anything you'd like to ask, anything you'd like us to cover, you can let us know by going to or writing us an email at info@recoveryministries.net or responding on YouTube to the podcast. You can ask a question right there on YouTube. You can also go to our website and ask a question. The website is recoveryministries.net. Or you can go to wherever you do get your podcast, and you can leave a message right there, and it'll come to us. So please have a wonderful evening. Remember, the anchor of acceptance. Start today. God bless you.